Shalom Aleichem. Okay, Parshas Yisro. I think we'll talk about the beginning and a little bit about the end of the Parsha. And I think the two sections, if not obviously related, I think they both address some fundamental issues that are really connected. Let's start. It says, "Vayishma Yisro Koy Midyan Chosin Moshe Is Kol Asher Asay Elokim Moshe LeYisrael Im Amo Ki Yotzi Hashem Es Yisrael MiMitzrayim." So Yisro heard, and interestingly enough, it says, "Vayishma Yisro Kohen Midyan Chosin Moshe." We have a whole, as it were, a CV here. It's called Asher Asay Elokim LeMoshe. Yisro is disguised as, described as himself. He's described as Kohen Midyan. He's described as Chosin Moshe. And we'll talk about that in just a moment. But let's address the first word. Vayishma, he heard. What does that mean? Shmia, to hear. So in Sefer Shmuel, we have a pasuk. It says, Vayishma Shol Ha'am. Right? He gathered together the people. Shmia is a verb. We know it means to hear. And yet, in this pasuk over here, it's not the only explanation, but one of the explanations is to gather together. And the reason for that is because shmia is an assimilative process. Right? Shmia is an assimilative process. It's not where you see everything all at once. Granted, we understand that the reason that seeing, you get the picture all at once, and hearing, it comes in serial, right, one after the other, is the speed of light is obviously much faster than the speed of sound. We know the brain is processing both. But the fact is that our perception of it is that when you see something, you see the face all at once. You don't see cheekbone, nose, chin, etc. God forbid a person sees like that, he has a neurological problem. That's for Khalilah. But in hearing, you can tell that you're hearing the sounds and the syllables, the words, the sentences, the paragraphs, depending on how fast a person speaks, etc. But you realize that you're putting things together. It's gathering. The Tikkuni Zohar says, right, Breishis Bor Elokim, the very, it says, Se'u marom enichem ru'u mi bora eila. Pasuk v'n Yishayahu. Turn your eyes heavenward and see mi bara ela. See who the me is behind all of the ela. There's one me. There is one, I don't mean an English me, I mean the Hebrew me. There is one party behind all the ela. Me and ela spells, obviously, Elohim. Mi bara ela. There's a me behind all the ela. That's Elohim. Says the Tikkun Ezar, Su'u Marom Enichem, right? Lift your eyes up heavenward, is Osios. You take the first letter of each word, Su'u Marom Enichem, Kriya Shema, right? And we're talking about using the process of Shmia, even when we're talking about Su'u Marom Enichem, turn your eyes heavenward and look. In other words, understand that everything that you hear, or everything that you see, for that matter, everything you experience, is speaking to you. It's speaking to you. The experiences of life are speaking to you. Other people are speaking to you. Try to put together, try to learn from it. Turn your eyes heavenward and see there's one me behind all the Ela. The Koach of Shmia. Yisro had this Koach of Shmia. And now, why did he have this? What developed this in him? So I heard many moons ago from Rav Nissen Lipa Alpert, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, a very precious rabbi of mine. He said, "Vayishma Yisro Kohen Midyan Chosin Moshe, Eskol Asher Asar Lukim LeMoshe Yisrael." Rashi says about that, Kyoshi Yatzi Hashem Yisrael Mitzrayim, says Rashi, Chosin Moshe, Kan haya Yisro miskabid b'Moshe, ani chosen ha-melech. Rashi says that Moshe now, that Yisro now took pride in the fact that he is the father-in-law of Moshe. I am the father of the king, of Moshe. L'sha'avar, in the past, when they first met, I am Moshe Tola Gdula B'chamiv. Moshe, as it were, attributed whatever chashivas he had, whatever greatness he had, to his father, Shnemar Vayoshev El Yeser Chosno. He stayed with Yeser Chosno. Said Rav Alper, Yisro had the koach of Shmia, meaning, initially, according to the Medrash, Yisro was a member of Paro's think tank. He was there along with Bilam, he was there along with Eov. Some suggest Amalek was also there. And they were charged with giving Paro an answer about the Jewish question. It didn't just start in Wanasi. What will we do with the Jews? And Bilam says, kill them. Eov was silent. I don't want to get involved in this. Say the Chazal over there, because of that he suffered all the Yisurim of Eov. Paro met the fate that he met. And Yisro said, I'm out of here. I'm not going to participate in this. So Yisro, at that point, his greatness, his stature, his pride, was the fact that he was a member of Paro, who was the monarch at that time. Remember, Paro's think tank. He looked around, he says, this is garbage. This is false. I won't participate in this. Just because it points out to the world of my intellectual prowess that I'm chosen to be a member of Paro's triumvirate group of advisors. Forget it, I'm out of here. He threw that out. He went to Midian, and there he became involved in theology. All different possibilities. He was over there at Avodah Zarah. He became the chief honcho there in terms of Avodah Zarah. He saw that for a while, and like Rashi told us, when Moshe Rabbeinu showed up there, he was already considered a pariah because he said, this is also sheker. This is garbage. I should give my life to this? He had a deep need for the truth. He had a thirst in his quest for the truth. And then finally he met Moshe. He says, you know what? This man is Choshev. It's kedai to be known as nothing more than his father-in-law. I don't have to be known as the greatest intellect in Paro's think tank. I don't have to be known as the chief pope, right? The chief, as it were, theologian in the world of Avodah Zarah. I'll be happy being known as the father-in-law of this man here because this man has got the truth. Said Rav Alper, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, that's the idea of a Yishma Yisro. First he was Yisro. His Chashivas was his own intellect. Koy Midjan. He's the great shaman from Midjan. Doesn't cut it. Kosei Moshe. I'll stick with that. That's real. So he has the koach. He has the ability. A person who is indeed searching for the truth has the ability to put things together. To be Shomea. V'yishma Yisro Kohen Midjan Kosei Moshe. Further, we come then to a very, very, very interesting interlude. V'yim imachras v'yishim Moshe l'shpotes ha'am v'yamoda amal Moshe min boker ad ha'orev. Moshe, next day, Rashi says it's after Yom Kippur. It's after Matan Tov already, according to that opinion of Rashi. And Moshe sits down to judge the people, and they're standing there from morning to evening. Vayarach Hussein Moshe, Esa Kol Asher Hu Oseh, and Yisro, Chosin Moshe, saw everything that Moshe was doing. What are you doing here? You're sitting, you're going to judge them from morning to night? Madu Ata Yoshev Levatecha, V'chol Am Nitzav Alechem in Boker Ad Orev. You're sitting by yourself? You're going to judge all, you're going to adjudicate all of their cases? Of course, what am I going to do? They're coming to me to find out what Hashem says. They're doing these particular instances. If we have a difference of opinion, right? Two people, I have to judge it. I'm going to teach them who's right, who's wrong, and we're going to teach them the chukei elokim torosav. Vayomer chosim Moshe lav lo tova davar shatoseh. When Yisro comes up, he says this is not good. He's telling him, Moshe Rabbeinu, right? So the Rashi understanding this is post what he called post Yitzias Mitzrayim, obviously post what he called post Kriyas Yamsov. It's even post Matan Torah. Lo tova davar shatoseh. It's not good. Really. Navolti bo, gamata, gama amaze, everyone's gonna get worn out by this. Asher yimach, kichaved mucha, davalo sukhala, so levadech. You can't do this. You can't do this by yourself. You can't do it by himself. Split the sea, and you can't do this. That's what he says. Atar shema bekoli, listen to what I have to give you as an eitza yatzcha, v'yelukim imcha, mach, and Hashem will be with you. You'll be an intermediary, right? Then he suggests really what he called have other people there involved with you. And finally he says, Im esadavar azet hasev tzimcho elokim v'yachol ta'amod gam kol am azeh al mekomo yavo v'shalom. If you do what I say, and Hashem is mitzav you, then you'll be able to manage. Otherwise, it sounds like he's saying that you won't manage. V'yishma Moshe l'kol chosno. I asked Kol Asher Amar, and Moshe Rabbeinu listened. Isn't that interesting? There's the Shmi again. It's coming back. Yisro is Shemaya, now Moshe is Shemaya. Shemaya is Moshe, it's Yisro. Interesting. So first of all, how did Yisro get off, what do you call it, telling Moshe, Lo Tova Davar Hazeh? So Ma'aseh Hashem asked the question. Everybody asked the question. And the Master Hashem says that basically, he wasn't telling him, you don't know what you're doing. He's telling you, he says, I don't understand what you're doing. If you speak to Hashem, right, see what he says about this. If he tells you have to do it, then surely you'll be able to do it. Certainly you'll be able to do it. If you do it on your own, there's no reason to be able to do it. But if Hashem tells you to do it, you could do it, because I do believe that Hashem is totally omnipotent. But you should find out. Listen to my Eitza, right? Hashem might tell you indeed that you don't have to do it. And you can bring in other people. Interesting. So that's the way the Maaseh Hashem, Rav Elazar Ashkenazi, is where softens a little bit of the question on how could Yisro ask this, say this to Moshe. He wasn't really saying, go argue with Hashem. Find out from Hashem, right? If Hashem tells you, do it, so Beseder, then he'll have to give you the koach to do it. But otherwise, I don't see how you have the koach to do it. And if you don't ask him, you won't know what you should be doing, what you shouldn't be doing. And Moshe Rabbeinu listened. Isn't that fascinating? The person who brought Esther Makos, brought the Kriyas Yamsuf, person who's the major role in Matan Torah, excuse me, and Yisro comes and tells them, Lo tova davar. This is not good. And Moshe listens to him. Really fascinating. So let's see, first of all, just on a theoretical level, what exactly the machlokas was between them. Mitzorok has one approach, and that is that Moshe Rabbeinu wanted to teach them in a way that they would never forget, they would know, they wouldn't need further any more teachers. They would know it themselves. Right? That's what he wanted to do initially. And Yisro told him, right? We'll see the last paragraph here in the Takanos HaShavim from Rav Tzadok. V'zeh Shleimus Moshe, Midas Moshe Rabbeinu L'Vashom, Shu Rabban Shel Yisrael. You want to teach him so completely, they wouldn't need afterwards a Rav. You'll be able to ask in your own questions. Says Rav Tzadok, Yisro says you can't establish that as the platform of the Jewish people. Because there'll be, in the future, the need to be able, not only for the Jewish people who stood at Sinai, for Gerim who are coming in from the outside, it has to be available to them as well. And they have to learn from the Jewish people. So therefore you have to inculcate in the Jewish people the process of Rabbonim, Poskim, Dayanim. Not just you, Moshe. Dil osin Mashiach yavol rak lelamid l'umas ha'olam. Dehem yitzarchu limud gamaz. Uvisha v'olam hazeh en yizgal sapri ala derech ha'klipa. Right? Okay, nelam koch zeh gam b'bnei Yisrael. Okay, hiskim lo Hashem yisparach. The Jewish people need this ability. The only way to do this is as you teach them Torah, right? You don't just reserve it all for yourself that you're going to, as it were, teach it to them in a way where they, right, go, you have to inculcate them with the idea of education, of many people educating. And then they, in turn, will be capable, have the capacity to be able to educate the rest of the world, lossy level. Mikol makom nikra shehu yater parsha b'Torah. Right? Even though this is really cool, this is all part of the Torah, his name is Yisro because he added a Parsha Torah. What does that mean, he added? It wasn't part of the plan? It is. Right? But this is different. It's not, it's beyond just the Kedusha of Klal Yisrael. If it had just been Klal Yisrael and it was only Klal Yisrael, so Moshe Rabbeinu could have taught them in a way that, what he called, they would never forget. And they would know. And they would understand. And they wouldn't have to ask any questions. But since we have to know that also the rest of the world has to come to Tikkun as well, Matim that Yisro, who's been Mizgayer, should teach this. Ki ein ze mitzad etzem haTorah shehi mitzad etzem nafshos Yisrael, rak mitzad hayitur vatosefes sheish al nafshos Yisrael begerim nisyater, right? Hanosav gam kem perush vatorah. So this is coming to teach us, right? This is coming to teach us that Moshe Rabbeinu, right, that Moshe Rabbeinu's intention was pure, something he didn't understand, but Yisro said you have to take consideration of the future, the people are going to come in from the outside, they will need to be able to attach themselves to a Jewish people who are used to educating. That's the approach of Rav Tzadok. The Sfas is a different approach. Right? And he says, we take a look at the bold here in the middle of the paragraph here. V'ini Moshe Rabbeinu alav shalom das Torah, v'vada yatov kein shilumadu mimenu mi'atzmo. Moshe Rabbeinu is the das Torah. The das Torah. And it would have been better for the Jewish people to learn directly from him. Ulam perush navol tivol besofa de dargin ki b'nei Yisrael hayu bedargat hatoy v'lo hayu olin ad b'chinas Moshe Rabbeinu alav shalom. Yisro says, what you're suggesting is terrific, but the people are not up to that. They're not up to it, especially post the Chet HaEgel. V'nei b'chinas Moshe Rabbeinu alav shalom Torah shebichsav, says the Sfas Emes. Sfas Emes, we call Torah shebichsav, is all the shameless of Hashem, like the Ramban teaches in his Hakdama to his Perush on Chumash. It's all shameless Hashem. Moshe Rabbeinu is able to, as it were, right, to pass that on. V'zeh inyin hu seder aroy be'emes, v'inyin Torah shebal peh ki inyin bal tshuva. The process of Torah Shebal Peh, the struggle to understand, struggle and understand the Havamina, the initial way that we perceive things, and then afterwards, no, that's incorrect. And then over and over, this is a process of tshuva. It's a process of struggle to uncover ore. Yisro is saying to Moshe Rabbeinu, your derech is fine for you. But ask Hashem, like we saw from the Maaseh Hashem, ask Hashem. They're not up to it. They're capable of falling, as we saw the Gabbai Eigel. V'aklal ki lefi inyan amidas Yisrael b'chinas Torah shebal peh u'tshuv al yidei zeh shekilkul haya tov atzas Yisro. They need the capacity to be able to, through struggle, to re-reveal the light, because they can't accept it first time completely. Mariah was the Chet HaEgel. They needed the derech of tshuva. They need the derech of toil in Torah, of Torah shebal peh. Tein daicha lehosiv das me'atzo b'chinas Torah shebal peh, v'havein me'od me'od, v'aydei zeh, ha'yutzrichim, sorim k'tanim b'atzas Yisro. Everybody has to be involved in the struggle to understand, Torah shebal peh, understand. And through that opening, a great light. V'aklal ki seder haroi b'rotzon Moshe Rabbeinu, ha'ishahaya tov, sh'yilmedu mimenu. Moshe Rabbeinu teaches them the purity of Torah Shebichtav. So all the truth is there. All the Shemus Hashem are there. All the will of Hashem is there. Ulam HaYedei HaChet HaYamuchrach came that they should do it B'derech Torah Shebaal Peh. Teachers and more teachers and more teachers struggling to understand. They don't have it all clear in front of them like Moshe Rabbeinu. They have to struggle to understand. In the end, the fact is the struggle does indeed illuminate a greater light. And that's the idea of Perishiter Parsha Achas. Once again, just like the Tzaddik said, except the Tzaddik says that the extra Parsha was in terms of the future, in terms of the fact that they're ultimately Begerim will join Klaisel because the rest of the world is not just chopped liver. They're meant to understand the truth at some point or other also. That was a Tzaddik. And the Sfasemis says, no, within the Jewish people, you need Yisro's suggestion. It's the style of Torah Shebaal Peh. It's a style of struggle. It's a style of one teacher teaching some Talmidim and another teacher, to work it out together. Zeo perish yitami et parsha achas v'torah. So that's two theoretical possibilities of exactly what the difference was between Moshe's approach and Yisro's approach. But what are we meant to take from that? As Seder, those two, what do you call it? Moshe and Yisro, they had a disagreement exactly which way things should be communicated. But what exactly are we supposed to take from that? Here's another piece from Tzaddik. It says, Vayishma Moshe. Moshe, listen to Yisro. Just like it says, Vayishma Yisro, and that's how he was able to come to join the Jewish people. It says, Vayishma Moshe. Isvezor HaKadosh, Umila Dedyota Mila Yu. The words of even a simple person are words worth listening to. The Gamze Hikdim Namatan Torah, the Ezu Chokham Alomid Bikolarav. Here it's written in the Chumash, regardless of when it actually took place, but it's written as Hakdama to Matan Torah. That is, regardless if we're talking about this actually taking place after Matan Torah. But in the Chumash, it appears before Matan Torah to tell us that's a Hakdama. That's why they put it over here in the Chorah. To teach us as a Hakdama to Torah, to be Mekabla Torah, you have to have the willingness to listen to what somebody else says. To listen to what he says. Process. And unless what he's saying is objectionable, see what you can extract from that to learn. Even if the words of a simple person, of a hedgehog, not that Yisro is a hedgehog, but in comparison to what he called hearing directly from Hashem. Every experience, once again, this is the koach of Shmia. Put together your experiences. Learn from your experiences. Learn from what someone has to say. At least be so gracious and wise, really, to pay attention to what he's saying. Maybe you'll learn something from it. And in this case, it would cause an additional, as it were, parsha in the Torah. Yisro. Yiter. Right? Parsha of the Torah. Listen. Pay attention. So the person says, this is the Hakdama that's written prior to Matan Torah. Listen. Just, we have a fascinating story here. Yisro had the koach of Shmia, as we said. And it's dafka through him that we understand the din that even Moshe Rabbeinu, who speaks to Hashem, Pe'el, Pe'el, Panim, El Panim, needs to listen to a hedget also. To see if there's something worthwhile what he's saying. And indeed there was. Zehu, says Reb Tzaddik here at the end. Zehu gam ken akdom l'matan Torah liyos lomad mikol odam. You should learn from every person. Al derech shenemar v'oz nechot tishmana. Dover me'acharecha daika. I know af mil de diota lomar zeh haderech l'chu bo, etc. Listen. Process. See if there's something that we learn from it. In conclusion, let's see the end of the parsha. So we had over here a very fundamental idea in terms of the prologue to Matan Torah, just like we were familiar with Vayichan Yisrael Neged Ahar. Chazal tell us Vayichan Yisrael Neged Ahar Ki Ish Echad B'Lev Echad. But from the story of Yisrael, we hear it's not just really called we're united in some sort of airy fairy fashion. There is, in addition, the idea of listen to your fellow. Maybe you can learn something from it. And if you disagree, so Seder. But listen. Listen. At the end of the Parsha, it almost seems like a non sequitur. Right? It says, V'mizbach avanim ta'asali lo sivne esen gaziz k'chabachoy nafta alea v'atechal alea. If you shall build a mizbech of avanim, don't put your metal instruments on it. Your iron instruments on it. V'losa lebemalos al mizbechi asher lo sigale. So Rashi teaches us with regard to the fact that you shouldn't use what he called metal instruments. You might use your sword. The sword shortens a person's life. The mizbech is there to lengthen a person's life. The sword, what he called, causes argument, dissension, war, and the purpose of the mizbech, of the mishkan bechlal, is to bring people together. And then Rashi says over here on this idea of lo salav malos, you shouldn't step on steps. Instead, there was a kevesh, a ramp, to go up to the mizbech. Don't step upon the staircase to go up to the mizbech. So Rashi says, v'atah noheg behem minig bizayim. Why shouldn't you do that? Because you, as you're walking up the staircase, you spread your legs apart. Albeit the person's wearing underwear, the kohen's wearing underwear. But nonetheless, it's a disrespectful act. It's very funny. You would think that if we were talking about that sort of thing, concern about the way the coin walks up, you would say, well, okay, this is a remez. Don't be nichshol in gilarayas. Don't be nichshol in here horim rhyme, whatever it is, right? If you want tsunua, you walk up very daintily, as it were, when it's not spreading your legs apart, walking up a staircase, and you walk up the ramp, the kevish of them is bad, but Rashi doesn't say that. It says, don't walk up the staircase like that. Why? V'atanoig behem minig bizoyen, v'rei dvarm kavachomer, ma'av vonim alolo she'en lehem das, imem das, ha'akpir al bizyontchom, bizyona. Amra Torah, ho'il v'yesh mev tzorach lo tinig behem minig bizoyen. The Torah tells us it's meant to teach you not what he called don't be inappropriate or non-tanua. That's maybe also true, but that's not what you learn from here. What you learn from here is that a prerequisite to avoda is you don't step and be mezalzel in someone else. Don't be mezalzel in someone else. Don't step on their head. Right? These stones, right, should... Right, that you're not supposed to be knowing by them a minig bizayon by spreading your legs up as you walk up, and that's where we have the ramp as opposed to the staircase. Lo tinig by minig bizayon, says Rashi. Chavercha should be dmus yotzercha who makpil bizayon alachas kama v'kama. Your chaver who does suffer from shame if you were to really embarrass him certainly should be careful. So we have a hakdama to Kabbalah's HaTorah. At the beginning of the parsha, Hakdamat HaKabbalah HaTorah, it's accepting the Torah. Open your ears, listen to what someone else has to say. This is good also for your Chavrusa, right? Listen to what your Chavrusa has to say. Ezol Chacham Alomi Mikol Adam. Sometimes they're not saying anything. Okay, but at least pay attention and listen first. Hakdamat the Torah is the ability to listen. Vayishma Yisro, and the result is a person like Yisro, who is Vayishma Yisro, he's putting things together, then Vayishma Moshe to Yisro. And he was justified. Listen. Listen to the other person. And in the world of Avoda, so, you might think, I'm being over Hashem. Me, I'm the biggest tzaddik. You're a spiritual amoeba. If I step on your head on the way to what he called to going to open the Aron Kodesh, what can be more beautiful? Tell me about it. What can be more beautiful? That's not that it's Rizus that the Torah is interested in, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is interested in. Not that type of Rizus. Before you can engage in Avoda, you have to realize that you shouldn't be mezalzel on anybody. You should be very careful what someone else has covered. Because sometimes people think that, right, they're focusing on Avodas Hashem, and they think they're the only Ovid Hashem there is. Everybody else is just chopped liver. Leads to a sorry situation. So we have two Akdamas here, one to Kabbalah Satorah, and one to Avoda. And they both involve Banyan L'Chaveiro. And the Hakdama to Torah, listen to what the other person says. And the Hakdama to Avoda, make sure you're not misvalzeling someone else in the process. Okay, it was brief. Hopefully it was useful. Have a good Shabbos. Be well.